Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun. We left off yesterday about seven lines down from the top with the words Ravina Omar. Let's just remind ourselves what yesterday's Gemara was talking about. So we had brought down a statement right after the quote from the Mishnah, Begizit Semer Vein Metaltalin. One is allowed to insulate with Gizit Semer, but the Mishnah had said you're not allowed to be Metaltalin. And Rava had seemingly explained that that's only talking about when you didn't use it for insulation. But if you use it for insulation, you're allowed to be Metaltalin. And that was the simple understanding of Rava, which one of the Talmidim, who was in his first day in the Beis Medrash, said that doesn't follow with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that you're not allowed to be metaltalit. So what was Rava talking about? So we gave a teretz yesterday that Rava was talking about where you were miyached it. We give today another teretz, Ravina Omar. We see in the Rashi Dibar Maskel, Ravina Omer, La'olam kid Omar Rava. Rava is correct, the way we originally had him. That im toman bahen, if you insulated it, mutter letalto, you are allowed to go and move it. The kiman di yichadon, lohochi damu. It's as if you set it up that way, and therefore you miyached it. However, v'rava lav amasnisan koi, when Rava made his statement, that seems to go against the Mishnah. So what is Rava's statement going on? So Ravina Omar, bishel Heftik shanu. Rashi over here, Dibra Maskel Heftik. Heftik is like a storehouse. Ma'arocha gedola. Sha'orchin umoshivim lahaktsosan l'schora. Shekorim tash. This is some sort of a large storehouse that you put stuff in. And this could be Bein Shel Begadim, Bein Shel Tzemer, Bein Shel Chagavim, Ubasar Maluach. This could be a storehouse. This term Heftik is used for anything. It's a generic term for a storehouse. So now we can understand Rava's statement as follows. Rava made his statement. He's talking about whenever you are using it for hatmana purposes, so then by definition, it's not muktza. However, the Mishnah is talking about when you're dealing with a heftik, when you're dealing with a large amount of gizei tzemer, so then that you're expecting to put back into the storehouse. And therefore, the fact that you used it for hatmana doesn't mean that you are miyached it. So Rava and the Mishnah are talking about two different things. Rava is talking about when you're using a small amount for hatmana, that's when you're allowed to be metaltalit, it's not muktzah. But the Mishnah is talking about heftik, the Mishnah is talking about a large amount of gizei tzemer, so by definition, even though you're using it for hatmana, now that doesn't mean that you're miyached it for that purpose. And Tani Nami Hoch, we have a Braisa that supports exactly this version that Ravina said. Because it says in the Braisa, the Tosefta and Perek Dalet, Gizei Tzemer Shel Heftik. If you're dealing over here with this storehouse, this large amount of Gizei Tzemer, so even though you're using it for Atmana, Ein Metaltalin Osta, then you're not allowed to be Metaltalin. It still retains its Muxa status. However, if you Bedavka, Bimiskinu Balabais, Lishtamesh Ben, if the Balabais is saying, no, I'm using this for Hatmana purposes over here, then Metaltalin Osta, then you are in fact allowed to go and use it. So that works out exactly like the way Ravina explained it. Okay, the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Tana Rabba Bar Bar Chana Kamei de Rav. Rabba Bar Chana learned the following statement over the name of Rav. This is something we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, dealing with Chorios Shel Dekel. What are Chorios Shel Dekel? These are basically like lulav fronds. These are palm fronds that have the leaves taken off. And Rashi explains the normal purpose of such lulavim is for mukta purposes. They're used for firewood. And therefore, this is something that would be mukta. Now, shegidron le'etzim. Gidron, Rashi says, is the word that we use for palm fronds for harvesting them. Their Hebrew has a lot of different words for harvesting. We have a different word for harvesting grapes versus a different word for harvesting olives. So this gidron is the word that we use to harvest these palm fronds over here. Le'etzim, for firewood. And therefore, they're muktzah on Shabbos. But what happens? The nimlach aleim li'yeshiva. The person decides, you know what? This is going to be a comfortable place for me to sit on it. So in order for him to change it from being firewood and make it into something that is not muktza, i.e. like make it into a chair to sit upon, tzarech l'kasher, the Tanakhama says that you must go and actually do a maisa to it. You have to tie it. As Rashi says, l'koshrum yachad, you bind them together, mibojom, before Shabbos starts. L'hochiach, this serves to prove that it's no longer firewood, ela shel yeshiva omdim, that now it's a chair, and therefore it's not muktza. And if you didn't do this, according to the Tanakhama, Rashi explains, also you're not allowed to move them, l'mochar on Shabbos, the fact that you're thinking about doing it is not enough. So therefore, the Tanakhama's opinion is you must do a mice over here in order to make it no longer muktza as firewood. Rashi Gamliel disagrees. Rashi Gamliel omer, no, ain't tzarech l'kasher, you don't have to do an actual mice. You can just go and think about, I'd like to go and sit on this tomorrow. That's enough. That's Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Now, this was the statement that Rabbi Bar Chanan made, and he paskened it. Who Tony Law? He taught it to us. Who Amar Law? Halachic Kershim Galil. He paskened over here that you just need a machshava to remove it from its status of being firewood, and you don't have to actually do a maisa to tie it, to bind it together in order to remove it from its status of being firewood. So that's what Rabbi Bar Chanan said. The machlokes between the Tanakam and Rishim Galil, and he paskened Rishim Galil. Itmar, furthermore, we learn Rav Amar Kosher. Rav says a person must do a maisa, so Rav is going to be like the Tanakama. Or Shmuel Amar Choshev. Shmuel is going to be like the opinion of Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. And now we have a third opinion. Rav Asi Amar Yoshev, as long as you just sat on it on Friday, even though Afal Pishalo Kisher, the Afal Pishalo Kishev, he said just the fact that you sat on it on Friday, even though you didn't think, I'm now here by Hinnin Yimuchel Mezumen, making this going to be a non-muksa item to sit on Shabbos. You didn't have that machshava, but you did sit on it on Friday. And you certainly didn't do a maisa, you didn't tie it together. Nevertheless, even though you didn't tie it together, and even though you didn't even have a machshava that you're being making it for Shabbos, the fact that you sat on it on Erev Shabbos is enough. So that's Rav Asi's, the most lenient opinion of the three. So the Gemara says, Bishlomo Rav, these are all our Morayim. So we'd like to tie them to the Tanoic opinions. But we only had two Tanoic opinions. We had the Tanakama and Rishim Gamliel. So Bishlomo Rav, who the Yomaki Tanakama? Rav holds over here like the Tanakama. Very easy. He says you need to do a Maisa. Rav said you have to do a Maisa. Fine. Ushmul Nami, who the Yomaki Rishim Gamliel? And Shmuel says the Machshav is enough. Exactly like Rishim Gamliel. So those two are perfectly good. They each have a Tanoic support. El Rav Asi, who says you don't even need to have a machshava, is enough that you did sitting on it on Erev Shabbos without intending to make it non-muktzah for Shabbos. That's enough. So who does Rav Asi hold like? El Rav Asi, Dharma Kaman. Doesn't he have a Tana to support his opinion? So the Gemara says, yeah, he does. There's a Tosefta that we're now going to bring down in Perek Vav that also has a third opinion, and that's the Tanoic opinion that Rav Asi holds, like separate from the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. And what is that? The Tanya. It says in this Tosefta, Yotzin bipikurin ubetzifa bisman shetzavon, and we're not goris the word b'shemen according to the Marsha, but Rashi is goris the word, so we'll read it. Bisman shetzavon b'shemen v'karchon b'meshicha. Now, what are we talking about over here? Rashi explains that these pikurin are some sort of combed flax, pishton saruk, shenosin al-amaka, that you put them on a wound, but not for medicinal purposes, as we'll see. Or tzipa is some sort of a combed wool, and you put them on the maka, and they're not for medicinal purposes, but they're to prevent your clothing from getting stuck in the wound. So it's basically a bandage, not to heal your wound, but to make sure that your wound doesn't go and get ingrained in the garment that you're wearing. Sometimes you get the wound is sticky, and the garment will stick to it, and then the garment becomes attached to it, and it becomes a real problem. So they would put this bandage around it, and this is called pikurin or etzifa, and they put it in oil so it wouldn't stick, and then they would bind it there, and this would demonstrate that you're doing this over here as a beged, and therefore it's not muktzah. So this Brisa, this Tosefta says, this is what Rashi understands, we'll see Tosefta has a different interpretation in a moment. So Rashi says that you're allowed to do this over here as long as you were tzavon b'shemen, as you dipped it into oil and you bound it in this way. Some say it's or binding it. Vik karkun can mean or. Vav can mean an and or an or. So we'll just learn it simple, that you dipped it into the oil and you bind it, and this way you've essentially made it not muktzah. If you didn't do either one or both of these two things, then you're not allowed to go and carry it out on Shabbos, because this is now going to be carrying. And the Tosfos brings down, and the same thing applies by Muktzah over here, so therefore you wouldn't be allowed to use it. So it has the status of being Muktzah unless you unmuktzed it. However, you don't have to necessarily do an action, and you don't even have to think about it. As long as this Tosefta says, if you just went out with it for 1 second or a short period of time on Friday, Erev Shabbos, even though you didn't do all of these other actions, like dipping into the oil or binding it, then you've demonstrated that it's not muktzah. You've demonstrated that you want this. So even though you didn't do it with the intention, you didn't have a machshava that you're unmuktzing it, you didn't do a maisa on it, nevertheless, just the fact that you did it Erev Shabbos is good enough. Oh, that's exactly what Rav Asi said. Here Rav Asi has Tanoic support to his shita. Now this is the way that Rashi understands this. Tosef has a different understanding of what Pikurin Utsifa. You can see this in Dibra Maskil, but Pikurin Utsifa. He brings out the Rebbeinu Chananel, Pirush Rebbeinu Chananel, that this Pikurin and Tsifa are some sort of a toupee. Kippa Sheesh Bo Seir. It's like a covering that has hair on it. The nose and also barosha kareach, and a bald person puts it on. Venira kushu sarosha, and it looks like he has hair. In other words, this is a toupee. So this toupee, unless you did something to it to demonstrate that it's not a muktza item, or as long as you wore it on Erev Shabbos, that demonstrates that it's no longer muktza. That's the shita of Ravasi. Here's his tanoic support. On Ravashi says, Afanan namitina. We also learn this, where it says in the following, later in the Masechta, Hakash al gabi amita. If you have straw that's on a bed, now normally straw is muktza. Rashi says the stam usage of straw is either to make bricks, which again would be muktza on Shabbos, or lasaka, or to use it as firewood, which again would be muktza on Shabbos. And therefore, Rashi says, V'mayonosun al hamita, if you had straw on a bed, v'lo lishko v'lov, and you didn't put it there for lying down purposes, you didn't put it there as a mattress, and now the straw's on the bed, and now on Shabbos you want to come and lie on that bed, but it has straw on it. Well, how do you get the straw off? You want to shake it off and smooth it out so you can lie down on the bed. So it shouldn't be all gathered together in one place and hard and difficult to sleep on. So what should you do in this situation? So again, back to the brisa that we're bringing down over here. Hakash agabi hamita lo yananeo biyado. You're not allowed to move it with your hand. Avol minaneo begufo. You do what's called tiltum in atzad, Rashi says, because you can't do it with your hand, so you have to do it in some kelachar yad way, in a non-normal way. So you do it with your body. Avol minaneo begufo. However, avol imhoya olov maicho behemo. Either delete the word olov or not. Imhoya maicho behemo. If this straw was fit for consumption for an animal. So it's not just firewood or for bricks, but it's animal fodder. Or if there was a pillow and or a cover on this bed demonstrating that you want to use this as a bed on Shabbos and not just as a storage place for your straw, then it's not a problem. Then it's not muktz anymore. And you can do this directly with your hand, and therefore, shema minon. This is exactly the opinion. You showed that it's not muktza. You wanted to use this straw over here to be like a mattress for you. You want this straw over here to be able to smooth it out, because you demonstrated on Erev Shabbos, by putting the kar or the sodden on it, that that's what you wanted to do. Oh, this is exactly Ravasi again. This is the third tanoic opinion, shema minon. That's a good raya. Adigmar says, Uman Tana de Poli, Lady Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who was the, remember, we had three opinions. We had Rav, who was like the Tanakama. Who was this Tanakama that argued with Shimon Gamliel that said you have to do an actual maisa, you have to do kishur, you have to tie the palm fronds together? So, Uman Tana de Poli, Lady Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who was that author? Rav Chanina ben Akiva. That's the opinion of Rav Chanina ben Akiva. The Chios Rav Dimi, Omar Ziri. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he sent him with Ziri. Omar Rav Chanina, he sent him with Chanina. Pamachas lor Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, lemokom echad. One time, this Tana, Rav Chanina ben Akiva, went to a certain place. Umatzo chorio shel dekel, shegodrum lushum eitzen. And he saw that there were a lot of these palm fronds that were gathered, they were harvested for the purposes of firewood. And therefore they're muktzah. V'amra lahem, he told all of his talmidim, listen, we're going to want this place over here for tomorrow, to v'chishvu k'dei sh'neshev aleim l'mochar. We're going to want to use this area over here to sit on tomorrow. We have some sort of a special event, which we'll see, and therefore we're going to want to use these as chairs, and therefore go and think about it, so to say, in other words, be mechashev. Now, we said before that Rav Chanina ben Akiva, his opinion says you have to do a maisa. So see, this is the exception to the rule where here machshava alone would be enough, which therefore the default position is that he holds you must do a maisa. So let's finish reading and understand. So he told them in this situation and only in this situation, to v'chishvu, have in mind over here, k'dei sh'neshev aleim l'mochar. Here, machshava will work. Now, when Rabbi Chanina said this, v'lo yadana, he wasn't sure what the special circumstances in this situation was. Either it was for a wedding or it was Nebuch for a Beis Avel. And that's why they were busy and couldn't do a Maisa. And only in this situation, there was some special circumstance over here. Either it was the wedding or Nebuch was in Avelus. So Dafka only, Beis Ha'evel or Beis HaMishta, only in these extenuating circumstances of the wedding or of the Avelus, the Tride, that they were so busy. As Rashi says, v'lo yoch likchor mibojom. For this special circumstance, they didn't have the time to bind it before Shabbos. And therefore, v'hasimu d'shari, only on these extenuating circumstances did he allow machshava below kisha, without an actual action. However, I will be Almalo, but his default position is that you must do Machshava. And only over here, the tree day, did he allow it. Avol Hocha, Kosher in, Lo Kosher Lo. Oh, so you see that Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, he is the opinion that says that you have to go and do a Maisa. Oh, very good. That's our opinion over here. Now, Am Rav Yehuda, Machnis Odom Milo Kuposu Offer, V'Ose Ba Kol Tzorcho. Here we have another similar idea of Muktzah, and this is from the Gemara in Beitza, where the Amora Rav Yehuda says that a person wants to bring in dirt to use on Shabbos. Why would you want dirt on Shabbos? So Rashi explains that you're going to go cover up with this dirt, soa, some excrement, or roke, or spittle. They had dirt floors, and they'd get very filthy with all sorts of stuff. And therefore, you'd want to put more dirt on top of it to get rid of the excrement or the saliva. So you'd bring an additional dirt into your house that you'd have additional dirt for your floor as needed on Shabbos. So that's what Rav Yehuda said. You're allowed to do this. You bring in a kupa's worth, a large amount's worth, and you dump it. And then you can use it on Shabbos. And on this, Dorish Mar Zutra, Mishmei de Mar Zutra, Rabbah, Mar Zutra said in the name of the great Rav Zutra that v'hu sheichelo keren zavis, you have to go and put it in a special place. Rashi, they have a kemuchan to demonstrate that this is dirt that you're not having muktzah. It's not subordinate to the ground. You want to use this dirt. V'omen lekach, and it's therefore muchan and ready to be used. Avon nesona be'emtza beiso lemedras reglayim harehu batel legabi karkoris habayis umuktzah v'yosa. But if you just dumped it on the ground, then it's no different than the rest of the dirt, and the rest of the dirt is muktzah. So you have to do something special to it. You have to make a yiched. You have to designate over here in a corner in a keren zavis, and this way that dirt becomes muchan. That's what Rav Yehuda said. And this is the explanation that Mar Zutra gave in the name of Mar Zutra Rabba. Amar Rabbanan Kamei de Rav Papa, the rabbis said in front of Rav Papa, who is this opinion like? Keman Kerushim Gamliel. This is like Kerushim Gamliel, that you needed to make Chishav. You didn't do a binding over here. You didn't do Kishav like Rav Chanina ben Akiva, like the Tanakhama of Kerushim Gamliel. So this statement of Rav Yehuda from the Gemara in Beitza is in accord with Rav Shimon Gamliel, because the Karabon, because it was the Tanakhama, i.e. Rav Chanina ben Akiva, so then Ha'amar bina Maisa, he says you have to do a Maisa. So he didn't make you do a Maisa with the dirt over here, so therefore it's not the opinion of the Tanakhama of Rav Chanina ben Akiva, is instead the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that Machshava alone is enough. You yichid a Karen Zavis, that's enough. Amar Rav Papa, no. Not necessarily so. Afilu Tamar Rabbanan. This could even be the Tanakama of Shimon Gamliel. It could even be the opinion of Chanina ben Akiva. Why? Because Ad kan lo kamri Rabbanan debina Maisa. When do you have to do Kishur? When does the Tanakama say you have to do an actual Maisa? That's Elamide de Bar Avi de Be Maisa. That's something like the palm fronds that you could tie together. But dirt, Avamidi de la Bar Miyab de Be Maisa. What Maisa are you going to do with the dirt? It's dirt. So you can't do a Maisa with it. Therefore, lo neima. One could make the argument that even the Tanakama, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he would also agree that if there is no Maisa to be done to it, then Machshava is enough. It's only if there is an ability to do a Maisa, then you must do the Maisa. Machshava is not enough. Now, is this true or not? Is the Tanakama in agreement with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when there's no ability to do a Maisa? Or no, even there, he disagrees with him and says, you must do some sort of a Maisa or else Machshava alone is not enough. So the Gemara says, Kitanoi, this idea is actually a machlokes. Does the Tanakama agree when there's no ability to do a ma'isa with Rishim Gamliel, or does he not agree? Is actually a machlokes Tanoim itself. As it says, Bechol Chofin Esakelim. One is allowed to go and polish utensils on Shabbos with any material. Bakol Chofin Esakelim. You can use any material that you want, with one exception, Chutz Miklei Kesef BeGartikon. Except you're not allowed to go and polish silver items with something called gartikon. Rashi says this is kamin afar. This is some sort of a dirt shagodol b'chavishal yain that grows in the barrels of wine. The koron lo alum. This is something that we know in English as alum. Behu ikar tikun klei chesef. And this is how you go and fix silver. This is the silver polish. But how does it work? It doesn't work just by polishing it. The gorer oso shakesef rachu. It actually rubs off the top layer of kesef, so you are actually over in Issa Abeloch of Memachik over here. So that's why you're not allowed to do this with this gartikon, this certain type of material that actually does a Memachik, an Issa Daraisa on the silver. And therefore, any other material is okay, but not this material. So that's the opinion over here that says you can polish it with anything but gartikon. implying haneser b'chol dirt, these are various types of dirt, mutter, one is allowed to go and polish suva with them because they aren't going to be mamachik. That's b'raisa number one. But b'raisa number two, v'atanya, we have a tosefta in beitza that says that even neser v'chol osur, you're not allowed to polish them with either neser and chol. So the first b'raisa says you can use neser and chol. The second b'raisa says you can't use neser and chol. So what are they arguing about? My lab b'hokam ivli, this is what they're arguing about. The mar sovar bo'inun maisa, that one b'raisa says that you must do a maisa to remove something from being a muktzah item, umar sovar lo bo'inun maisa. And the other opinion says, no, you don't need a maisa. Ah, that's exactly our machlokus in what the Tanakhama of Rishon Gamliel holds. And we can see this in Rashi, my lab. And so the first wide lines in the Rashi is at the bottom. Ha de tanya osur, that which the b'raisa first said that you can't use, the neser and chol, it's not because it wipes it away like the garret tikkun, it doesn't. El mishum muktzah, because dirt is muktzah. And therefore, ka'osalei, that's why you can't polish the silver with it, because it's muktzah. The Tana d'share, and the Tana that says that you can use it, the first b'raisa, kigon sheichnis meloku pasul lekach, that's when you brought it in for the purposes of polishing, even though you didn't do a ma'isa. So the first b'raisa that says it's mutter would say that you don't have to do a ma'isa machshava zanah. Enough. And the second b'raisa would say that you must do a ma'isa. Oh, this is the machlokes over here that we just said. Does the Tanakhama of Shimon Gamliel say that when you can't do a ma'isa, he agrees with Shimon Gamliel? Or does he disagree still, even in that situation? That's kitanoi. That's, let us say, is this machlokes over here? So the Gemara says, not necessarily so. Lo. In fact, the kuliyama lo b'ina ma'isa. In fact, everybody holds over here that if there's no ma'isa to be done, you don't have to do a ma'isa. So how come this is steering the two b'raisas? One b'raisa says nesim chol yes, one b'raisa says nesim chol no. Lokasha, they're not arguing with each other. They're two different opinions. Harav Yehuda, Harav Shimon. Some are not going to resist, but it's correct. So one b'raisa is like Rav Yehuda, that you can't use the neser and the chol. And the other opinion is like Rav Shimon, that you can. What is that? Or Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who says, he says, the neser and chol might do memachek over here. So even though you have no intention of being memachek, nevertheless, Rashi says, zimnim de garu. It is going to sometimes wipe it away. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Dover Shein Miskavin is aser, says you have to be concerned over here that the neser and chol might be memachek, and therefore it is aser, because even though it's a Dover Shein Miskavin, Rabbi Yehuda Shita throughout Shas is that it's aser. And the Braisa says, neser chol is mutter, ha Rabbi Shimon. His Shita throughout Shas is the Omar Dover Shein Miskavin is mutter. And it's not a psik reisha, because it doesn't do it all the time. Even Rabbi Shimon says if it's a psik reisha, that it would be aser, but here it's not a psik reisha. Sometimes it wipes it away, sometimes it doesn't. But since you don't have any kavana to wipe it away, therefore it's a Dover Shein Miskavin and it's mutter. So therefore, in fact, they might both hold that the Tanakhama of Shimon Gamliel says you don't need to do a Maisa when you can't do a Maisa. And here, the two Braises are arguing within the Shitas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, nothing to do with all Machlokis of do you need to do a Maisa or not. So the Gemara says, okay, so great. So how do we now solve the problem? B'mayu Kimta, how do we explain the Stira in the two Braises? So we said one is Rabbi Yehuda and one is Rabbi Shimon. So B'mayu Kimta Lahor Dishari, so the Braise that says you can use the Neser in the Chol, that is, we said, going according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So Eima Sefer. So then keep on reading that Braise. It says, Avolo Yichol Bahem Saro. It says that you're not allowed to use Neser and Chol to go and shampoo your hair. Now, why not? Now, the E, Rabbi Shimon, if it's Rabbi Shimon, Mishra Koshari, you should be allowed to do this because it's not a psik reisha that it will pull out your hair, and therefore it's a davar shein miskavin. So why can't you go to use it to shampoo? But it says you can't use it to shampoo. What are we talking about? The Tnan, we turn to the Omid Beis. A nazir is chofef umifasbeis avolo sorik. A nazir who has the restriction that he's not allowed to go and cut his hair. So on a weekday, on a regular weekday, and like any other person, so for a nazir, a weekday is just like Shabbos for everybody else. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to cut your hair, but a regular person cut his hair during the week. But a nazir can't cut his hair on Shabbos and can't cut his hair during the week. So he's allowed to go and shampoo. Rashi says, chofev saro b'neser v'chol. He's allowed to use neser and chol. So here you clearly see that you're allowed to do this. And umefasbeis. Rashi says this is menafet saro. He can somehow straighten out his hair over here in this situation. The kivin de eno miskavin, it's a dover shein miskavin, it's mutter. And therefore, this is obviously the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And nevertheless, kamale almanes v'chol zimnim de eno meisher v'lo domi lipsik reisha v'lo yomos. And therefore, it is allowed. Avalo sorek, but the Braisa Ketidah says you're not allowed to go and comb it because combing it will definitely put out the hair. So if this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which you see from Nazi, that he allows it, so how come in this Brice it says, Avolo Yichov Behem Saru, but you're not allowed to go comb your hair with it on Shabbos? Because if this were to be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, you should be allowed to do this on Shabbos. How come the Brice that says you're allowed to use an Esser and the Chol on the silver, but you're not allowed to use it on your hair on Shabbos? Why not? Rabbi Shimon would say you could. So if you're telling me that this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion, it doesn't jibe. So Gemara says, you're right. Elo, Havah, Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, both Brices are Yehudi. The Brice that says you can't use a Nes in the Chol, and the Brice says you can use a Nes in the Chol. They're both Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, how can that be? Gemara says, V'terei Tanoia, Libe Rabbi Yehuda. We have two different opinions as to what Rabbi Yehuda's actual opinion was. Hi, Tana, Libe Rabbi Yehuda, Sava Gori. The first opinion that says that it's Osir holds that Rabbi Yehuda over here feels that this will definitely cause Gori, and therefore it's not allowed. And the other opinion says you can use an S of the whole, says it doesn't do gorer at all. So therefore it's no problem. So they're arguing the Metzias over here. One Brisa says that it causes grira, and the other Brisa says it doesn't cause grira. So now we've learned that this is actually both according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, b'mayu kimta, ki Rabbi Yehuda. So now you're learning the Brisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, keep on reading. Ema Seifa, it says further that you are allowed to go and wash your hands with Neser and Chol, avol pono of yod v'ragl of muta. You can go wash your hands, you can wash your feet, and you can wash your face. Now, if we say that the Neser and the Chol is going to pull out the hair, ha ma'aver seyer, and even though it's a dover shenu mitzkavin, if this is Rabbi Yehuda, it should be not allowed. A dover shenu mitzkavin is also according to Rabbi Yehuda. So how can this brisa be according to Rabbi Yehuda that it's permissible? It should be also. So Gemara gives several possible terutzim, all of them in the same vein. Ibayisayim of a cotton. We're talking about a cotton that doesn't have hair on its face, and therefore there's no concern with pulling out the hair. Alternatively, Ibayisayim of a beisha. We're talking about a woman, and she doesn't have hair on her face, and therefore there's no concern with pulling out the hair. Ibayisayim of a bisaris. Or we're talking about a person who's a eunuch, a person who doesn't have physical maturity, doesn't have hair on his face for another reason. He just physically doesn't have the right hormones, and therefore all of these situations, if there had been here, it would be a problem. Rabbi Yehuda would have been oser. But here, you're allowed to go wash pon of yod v'raglav with the neser and the offer over here because there is no hair that can be pulled out. Very good. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says other examples over here. Offer levinosa. If you have dirt over here that came from a crushed brick, shari, you're allowed to use that as well to wash yourself. It's not going to pull out the hair. The characteristic of this type of dirt is it's not a depilatory agent. Our Rav Yosef, likewise, kusva diyazmin shari. You're also allowed to use this kusva diyazmin. That's permitted to use on Shabbos. It's not a depilatory agent. What exactly is this? So Rashi is very makatzer over here. Rashi says it's psolus shumshimin. This is the pulp, the residue of sesame seeds. And you're allowed to use this to smear on your face. And it's not going to pull out the hair. On the side, the Aruch brings down a little bit more detail. It says this is psolus shumshimin shekovshin oso. You take this sesame seed residue and you go and soak it in beveret shoyazmin, with the jasmine type of plant, umiyavshin osan, and then you dry it, vishochin osan, and you grind it up, rochzimhen yadayim uzomos, and they would go wash their dirty hands with this type of a soap. So that's allowed on Shabbos. It doesn't pull out the hair. On the Rava likewise says, offer pilpili shari. You can use offer pilpili. What is this? So Rashi says, shchikas pilpili, and this is like crushed peppers. Also, it won't be a depilatory agent. You can use it on a Shabbos. On Rav Sheshi says, barda shari. Rav Sheshi says, barda is also allowed to be used to go and wash your hands and your face. It's not going to go and pull out the hair. What exactly is this barda? My barda. I'm Rav Yosef. It's a concoction over here. Tilsa ala. It's one third this ahala, this chemical ala. Vitilsa asa. It's one third over here of a hodas. Vitilsa sigli. And one third of something called an ace of shakurin violet. So this is violets. So each is a third. That is a concoction that you're allowed to use. It won't be a depilatory agent. You can use it on Shabbos. Rav Nechemi disagrees. Amar Rav Nechemi Yosef, kol hecha deleka ruba ala shaper. He says you don't have to only a third ala. As long as it's not a majority, 50% ala, it's allowed to be used. It's not going to be a good depilatory agent. Shaper dummy, it's allowed to be used. By my name, Rav Sheshes, the answer Sheshes, the following shaila. Ma'aluf tzor zesim b'shabbos. Can you go and crush, pound these olives on Shabbos? So the simple understanding of here, Rashi says, is that this is done to sweeten the bitterness of the olive. So that's what the answer Sheshes is. Can you crush this on Shabbos? So Amalu, he says, on a weekday you're allowed to. B'chi b'chol mihetiru. You're not allowed to do this on a weekday. What are you asking me on Shabbos? Well, now, what was the reason you can't use it on a weekday? You can't crush these olives on a weekday. So, Ksavai, the Gemara says, Mishum Hefsid Ochlin, because you're losing the olive, or others say you're losing the juice. So, you're causing a financial loss over here, and you're not allowed to do that even on a weekday. You can't just destroy food on a weekday. So what it says, Lema pligi the Shmuel, but this doesn't go in accord with what Shmuel said, because Arma Shmuel said, also Adam called Tzarcha Bapas, that you're allowed to do whatever you want with bread, even if it's going to cause the loss of the bread. So here, you want to use this for whatever the reason, to sweeten the olive, so you're losing the juice, no big deal. So what it says, no. Amri pas loma isa, hani ma'isa. Here, when you're using bread, you have to use it for whatever you want, because you're not ruining the bread. But here, you're ruining either the olive or you're ruining the juice, and therefore, that's why you're not allowed to do it. He wanted to say, even on a weekday. A neighbor, Mazutra, Ravashi, these three great Amorayim, have a yasve. They were once sitting together, and Aisu Lekamayu Barda. And they brought to them this Barda to go and rinse the hands. Now, it was on Shabbos, to rinse, to wash the hands of the face. So, Amema Ravashi, Moshu, they washed their faces. Marzutra lo Moshu, he didn't wash his face. So, Amule, they said to Marzutra, lo Sava lo Amar, lo Hodam of Sheshis Barda Shari, you don't hold, you're allowed to use Barda, you hold it's a depilatory agent? But we said it's not a depilatory agent. It doesn't pull up the hair, and you're allowed to use it. Don't you hold like that? So now there was another Amora that was over there, Rav Mordechai. So Rav Mordechai pipes up, and he says, Amalu, Rav Mordechai. Rav Mordechai tells these other two Amorayim, Amemer and Ravashi, he says, Barmine, Marzutra is different. Why? Barmine Demar, except for Marzutra. Da afilu b'chol, Nami lo surle. He doesn't let you do it on a weekday. Never mind on Shabbos, because Sabra la he holds. He holds the Tanya. He holds like the following brisa: Megarer Adam Gilde Tzoa v'Gilde Maka Sha'al B'Saro. A person on a weekday is allowed to go and remove the crust over here, the material that's like excrement, the pus, the material, the scab that you have on your maka. Because Bishul Tsaro, because it pains you, it physically causes you discomfort. And Tosa says it doesn't have to physically only cause you discomfort, just from the dryness of it, but even if it's something that makes you uncomfortable to be seen like that in public, he says, En lecha tsar godem zeh. Psychological tsar is also the same like physical tsar. And this is a very important concept in halacha, which is very true, that for a psychological disease, you can also treat somebody on Shabbos and be mechal Shabbos. We don't only look at physical, but it can even be psychological. In any event, so he only permitted you, this Bryce only permitted you if there was tsar involved. However, in Bishul Liyafos, but if it's just for beautification purposes, usser. Why? So Rashi explains that he holds that this is Beged Isha. Mishum lo yulbash gever simlas Isha. He felt that for a man to try to look nice, that's actually something that falls under the category of you're doing what a woman does, and it's usser. There are those that wouldn't let you look in a mirror because that's what women do, and therefore a man shouldn't look in a mirror. We're not really posking like that today, but there are those gedolim that wouldn't look, for example, even their tefillin. There are great gedolim that wouldn't look at a mirror to even adjust their tefillin because of this concept of lo yubash gevra simlas isha. So that's what Marzutra, he was so machmer, he wouldn't even do this on a weekday. What it did Amemar and Ravashi, who did they hold like? Ve'inu, Kiman Savrua, how did they, so to say, allow to be washed in this situation on a weekday? They held, Kiman Savrua, they held, Kihod the Tani, like the following brisa. This is Septin Brachos. Rochitz Adam Pono Yodar Raglam. Person is allowed to wash his hands, his feet, his face, B'choyom, every day. Why? Bishul Kono, to appear nice in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Rashi says, we're the Tzelem Elokim. We have to polish the bust of God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, when we wash our face. And therefore, Mishum Shinemar, Kol Polishim Lemaneyu. We're doing this to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it is allowed. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah stated that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer Kupa Mata al Tzid of an hotel Shemayita v'chule. We said when you insulated something, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that you must just move the chalon pot and tilt it and take the food out that way, because if you remove it from there, so then the insulated material is going to fall into the hole and you're going to come and adjust the insulated material with this muksa, and you're not allowed to do that. And the Chacham disagreed and said, no, you're allowed to do that. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav. Some aren't goes towards Amar Rav. Hakol Modim. Everybody agrees. Shem Niskalkel Haguma Shaasu LaHachzir. Everybody agrees that if the hole that the chalon pot was been in, that it was being insulated in, if that collapses, in other words, if the insulating material fell into the hole, then you can't go and move the insulating material back with your hands and put the chalon pot back into the hole. That's what it said. Hakol Modim. Shem Niskalkel Haguma Shaasu LaHachzir. But then we learn on Mishnah Tanan the Chachamim Rim No to Lamasir. But our Mishnah said you are allowed to do that. So Hechidam, what are we talking about? I don't understand. Either Lo Niskalkel Haguma, if the insulating material didn't come in and collapse and fill up the hole, so Shapir Karmi Rabbanon. So certainly, why wouldn't you have to put the chalon pot back? Elalav Afal Bishin Niskalkel Haguma, that the Chachamim hold, even though the insulating material filled in the hole, so to say, you're allowed to go move it. So we seem to have a disagreement over here. It says you're not allowed to go and do it. So the Chacham seem to be inconsistent. Gemara says, lo, yolam de nolis kalkula. The only time the Chacham will allow you to put it back is if the hole has not been collapsed. If the insulating material moved in, you're not allowed to move it with your hands. Everybody agrees to that. So then what's the machlokas between Rav Lozer and Zayin and the Chachamim? V'hocha b'choshishin k'mifligei. They're arguing about, do we have to be concerned that if it were to collapse, you may come to move it. So, marasav v'choshishin shemen is kalkul aguma. Rav Lozer and Zayin says, we have to be concerned. We don't let you go take the cholent pot out. Because if it were to collapse, we're afraid that you're going to forget yourself and you're going to put the insulating material back and allow the cholent pot to go back inside, and you're not allowed to do that. So we have to be choshesh, so therefore just tilt the cholent pot, but don't remove it. So this way there's no way it can collapse. Well, my sover ain't choshim. But the opinion of the Chacham is, no, we're not choshesh. If it collapses, you're right, now let it move it. But we're not going to make this area that you can't take the cholent pot out because we're concerned maybe it'll collapse and maybe you'll move it. Amar Rav Huna, now we have additional types of similar situations. Are they allowed or not? So Rav Huna says, hai slikusta dotsa sholfa v'hadu dotsa. On the side, it says the dotsa is like has an ayin in it as well. It means that you put it in, you remove it, and you put it in. What is this slikusta? So Rashi explains over here, this is an esev shunor lamar. This was some sort of a very pretty grass. It was nice to look at and to smell. And they would keep it in the dirt in order that it would be fresh. And then they take it out and smell it. But there's a problem. You're not allowed to move the dirt. So as long as you put it into the dirt on Erev Shabbos, took it out, and then put it back into the dirt, so you've loosened things up, so you're not moving the dirt on Shabbos when you take it out on Shabbos. So this slikusa, you're allowed to go as long as you put it in the dirt, took it out, and then put it back in the dirt on Erev Shabbos, so to say, you made it permissible, sharya. You'd be allowed to use it in this situation because the dirt is loose enough, and you're not going to be mazes the offer, Rashi says, on Shabbos. Below, but if you just put it in, then also, because when you take it out, you're going to be moving the dirt, and you're not allowed to move the dirt. Amar Shmuel, similarly, Haisakina debeni urve. Likewise, if you have a knife that's in between these urve, Rashi explains, Shinoats and Sakin be shurus halavanim. You would put the knife in between these rows of bricks in order to be protected, in order to be preserved over there. So again, you're concerned that when you take the knife out, that you're moving the bricks, and that's their muksa, so dotsa, shalfa, v'hadr, dotsa, shari. As long as you put it in, took it out, put it in before Shabbos, so you loosened it up, so now when you're taking it out, you're not moving anything that's muksa, and therefore it's allowed. However, if you just put it in, v'lav, also if you didn't move it around before Shabbos, so then you're not allowed to take it out on Shabbos, because you're moving the muksa items. Similarly, marzutra, v'tema, ravashi, amar, begurdisa, dikani, shop your dummy. Likewise, if you're putting this knife in amongst these reeds, you're allowed to do the same thing. That's permissible. And we're not concerned, Rashi says, that you're going to scrape off over here some of the reeds, and you're going to be over mishum memachek, mishum mochek. So that's allowed also. Now, Amalei Rav Mordechai l'Rava. Rav Mordechai says to Rava, Masir Rav Ketina Tiyufta. Rav Ketina said over here, a Tiyufta, to all of these opinions that said that you have to do something on Erev Shabbos, you have to put it in, take it out, put it in, to loosen up the dirt. Otherwise, you're moving the muksa item, you're moving the muksa brick, you're moving the reeds, you have a concern. And he brings down the following brisa. And it says, Hatomein Lefes, if somebody goes and insulates with Lefes, Lefes is turnips, with snonos and radishes, Tachas Agefen, underneath the vine. What are we talking about? They wanted, Rashi says, lihishtamer bekarka, you wanted to have the lefes, the turnips, or the radishes, nice and preserved, and that they shouldn't spoil. So you put it back into the ground. And you'd leave some of the leafy part outside of the dirt, but you didn't put it in the dirt, take it out, put it in the dirt, take it out. No, you just put it in so a little bit of the leaf was on the top, and then you could pull it out, even though you're going to move the dirt, as we'll see. So if somebody puts this lefes, it's known as, into the ground underneath the vine. Now, why specifically underneath the vine? So, imhaya mitzas al megulim, as long as some of the leafy part is visible on the top, that you could pull it on the leafy part and not have to actually touch the dirt with your hands, ain't a choshish. There's no concern over here for any of the following things. Number one, lo mishum kilayim. We don't have a concern that you're planting in a vineyard over here, a vegetable, which would be kilayim. This planting, this lefes or turnip, is not called a planting over here. This radish or turnip is not called a planting. So there's no concern of kilayim with the vine. Likewise, lo mishum shvias. If this was a shmita year, we're not concerned that you're doing something wrong in a shmita year. You're plucking stuff in a shmita year. Lo mishum maisa, and you don't have to take off trumas and maisas again. It was already taken off trumas and maisas. and v'nitalim b'shabbos, and there is no concern. That's why this is brought here for us. There is no concern that you're moving the dirt. As long as you're not directly touching the dirt, this is called totum and atzad, even though it wasn't dotsa, shofa v'dotsa, it's perfectly permissible. V'nitalim b'shabbos. So this is all tiyufta to everything that we just said. Taka, it's a tiyufta, and as long as you're not touching it directly with the hand, this is called totum and atzad, it's allowed to be done, even though you didn't have dotsa, shofa v'dotsa. With this, we conclude today's shir.